broadcasting live from the Orlando Orange County Convention Center for HIMSS 17. It's This Just In. Now, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Very excited about my two next guests, true industry veterans. So, first of all, Stuart Hansen, SVP and General Manager of Consumer Payment Solutions for Change Healthcare. Welcome, Stuart.
Thanks, Justin.
And good welcome to back to the show.
Thanks.
And John Zimmerman, probably doesn't need a whole lot of introduction, but Vice President, General Manager for Clinical Business Solutions at GE. So thank you, John.
Thank you, Justin, for having me today.
I worked with your teams for a long time. I don't know if you know Dr. Siegel, Dr. Mark Siegel.
Love him.
Yes. And I don't know if back in the day, Hugh Zettel. Do you know Hugh? Head of Global Reimbursements. Mark took over Hugh's spot. Hugh moved up into GE.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, about 10 years ago.
Mark's filled everybody's shoes.
Yes, yeah. Mark and I was chair of the EHR Association, and Mark was my vice chair. So we worked very, very closely in the trenches out in the industry.
Thanks for doing all that.
Thank you. For many, many years. So happy to have you guys. So, and your perspectives will be a little bit different. So I guess initially, Stuart, so tell us a little bit about, first of all, what do you see as trends, either here at HIMSS 17 or even just in your everyday out there in healthcare?
Yeah, I think when we talked last year, Justin, we were talking a lot about the drive to push the revenue cycle to be more patient-centric.
Yes.
We certainly see that continue. And also we're starting to see organizations start to really personalize those patient interactions, those member interactions from the health plan side. Now that they're a lot more focused around the patient and the member experience, really adding a level of personalization and really learning from how consumers respond, what they respond to, what type of billing information drives a payment, what type of communication drives a behavior change, et cetera. So we're seeing a lot of focus on that personalization level this year.
So how do you specifically address that?
In my business, we implemented some things to really help learn and gather data on what drives consumer responses, especially around the billing cycle. In particular, what type of message, what content.
Is that research?
It's actual live data from the billing interactions that we manage for our provider clients.
Yes.
So we can learn from the actual patient behavior what type of message is more productive. What drives conversion of consumers being passive and receiving their bills to being active and making a partial payment or a full payment, and really enabling the providers to listen to that data, because it differs by demographic, it differs by individual patient.
Sure.
So that personalization capability really becomes more important to drive effective collections, effective communication, and behavior change.
Sure. No, thank you. So, John, what do you see from your perspective? I mean, obviously, you have a unique perspective leading the GE business here.
Well, a couple things. First, I'd like to start with applauding Change Healthcare for really taking the lead here, seeing what's coming, investing ahead of the curve.
I agree.
And try and make it easier for more people, because this wave has started and it's not turning back. So I think that's an important one. Maybe I can give you an example of a story that came to us and actually drove a lot of value. And that is, there's a famous cancer facility that many people know, one of the best in the world, and they had a different revenue cycle for inpatient and outpatient. We were the outpatient side, there was an inpatient side. And what we didn't realize is how much stress is caused at the time when you really don't need any more stress, not only with you, but with your whole family. So one of the drives for this customer, they care so much about their patients in so many different ways, they said, we have got to give them a better billing experience among all the other experiences. Again, something we wouldn't necessarily think about, but they drove this. So now they have a single patient statement, a single experience, such that everything is much easier to deal with. And it's one of their value adds to improve the consumer experience from their perspective. And we don't think about everything like that all the time. We appreciate their innovation and asking us to help as they change revenue cycles, and we're all in.
So you transcend systems by doing that? I mean, you're bringing in multiple, you're integrating multiple systems?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And I think it's a good, it's a great story, John, for sharing, because it really emphasizes how organizations are starting to think more about the consumer, who kind of been lost in healthcare for a while, right?
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
For sure.
But most importantly, around the billing experience and just around some of the clinical data that they have access to. And we really see a lot of clients trying to drive more consumer-centric.
And
the nice thing about it is you can pull together a group of stakeholders. They've all got their own perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we're also consumers of healthcare. So we've all had, you know, the anesthesia bill that's out of network that we didn't expect from an outpatient procedure, or, you know, an ER visit where we got a lab bill that we didn't expect. And really simplifying that becomes very intuitive for the consumers.
No, and I completely agree, because it's part of what, you know, one of my passions in the industry is not only on the doing, you know, more on the quality reporting side and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but also optimizing the revenue cycle. You've got to optimize what you have today. It's hard to make more money. You can make more money,
right.
but you need to really make sure that you're collecting what you need to collect, that you're, everything that you do gets collected. You have high, you know, your pay ratios. But then really doing more with what you already have, and optimize. I call it optimizing the revenue cycle or revenue cycle performance. So I completely agree. And certainly with these large organizations, it's critical. But even for that 5-doctor, 10-doctor cardio group, it's critically important. It can be the life or death.
It's even more critical to them.
Right. Yeah.
They have, you know, the larger the institution, the more sources of revenue they have.
Right.
The smaller the practice, the fewer sources of revenue they have. So ensuring that it's easy for them to collect every dollar that they deserve for doing the important work that they do,
mm-hmm.
as well as making it part of a consumer outreach experience. I can give you an example.
Please.
One of my practice customers who, you know, we're very close with a number of them. I was talking to him on one Saturday night. He called, he wanted to talk about something. And I said, so, you know, what changes are happening with you? He goes, well, you know, we're changing our marketing budget. I said, really? To do what? How are you doing that? He said, we are increasing our budget by 750%.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow. What are you going to do with that?
Right.
He said, we're going on Yelp. And I'm like, why are you doing that? He goes, because that's where the patients are. And that's where the people are.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give them a Yelp sort of consumer
experience.
Search experience, you better give them a Yelp payment experience.
That's right. You want 4 stars.
You want 4 stars,
believe
and
me.
You want to make it easy to collect and make it a pleasure to do business with.
Yeah.
So you can have repeat customers. And so this is a great example, I think, of the new era staring us right in the face. And these guys are very innovative, but practical at the same time.
I love that example. I was on Yelp 2 or 3 times just last night. So I'm looking for a restaurant around here. Not my doctor, but that's the next frontier. So I totally agree. I think it's a fantastic example.
And they're out there.
Yeah, and you also do want 4 stars because we're used to that experience. And you get to your doctor because we're going to start searching for our doctors that way. I do believe that. And if you see 2 stars, that's going to be bad. And it's to your point, it may not even be their fault. It's just they don't know how to manage that experience. So your advice was spot on. Like, you got to manage that experience, and you got to make sure that your payments are as simplified as your care might be great. So there's another poll here that I read about 2 weeks ago that showed a little bit different, but if you wait in the exam room more than 35 minutes, the patient satisfaction begins to dip. It doesn't matter how high the care quality was at the end of the day. They waited, say, an hour and a half. They're busy as well in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
So you start dipping that. That's when it feeds into, you know, the pulp, the revenue stream, the satisfaction. We all know that satisfaction leads to revenue as well, certainly in these new care models. So all of this is about the patient experience. All of it's about consumerism.
Yes, sir.
So
totally agree. We've also seen similar data, Justin, on the billing experience.
Yes.
Right, a great clinical experience, but if the billing is confusing or you feel like you were improperly billed or it took too long and too many phone calls, that patient experience dips as well.
Exactly. And I mean, a stat that we all need to understand is 5 to 15% of future payment cycles are going to be based off of patient satisfaction. So you need to understand this is a lot of money at stake, and it's something to take very, very seriously. It's as simple as a statement. It's as simple as the financial experience, the payment experience. I couldn't agree more. So that was a great example. Can you give another example or two on managing that patient experience from a revenue perspective or anything like that? What you can look out for at the practice level, at the hospital level? You already mentioned the pay statement, creating a simpler experience there, evolving that experience. Certainly, I believe in the Yelp review, but what are some of the experiences or examples or best practices that you guys can offer?
Yeah, I've got one I can
Please
jump in.
Please go right ahead.
Okay,
I'll be
after
you.
We're also seeing health plans take a much more significant interest in managing the consumer experience, the member experience for them, but also through the financial part of the revenue cycle, right? So giving consumers a consolidated view of all of their healthcare transactions is something plans can inherently do,
right?
Right, because they adjudicate all of your claims. they're also the arbitrator of what you actually owe the doctor after the insurance has been paid. So some health plans are trying to simplify that billing part of the experience as well on the revenue cycle side. And giving consumers, you know, access to text or mobile or whatever format, whatever media they want to receive those communications to be able to interact that way. So excellent. where the customers are, when they want to use it, and how they want to interact.
So I can share a personal story.
Please, yeah.
I unfortunately inherited some genetics from my father, and at a certain point in my life, I had a pretty significant medical event. Mm-hmm. Providers took phenomenal care of me, and I went home, but still, you know, dazed and confused and a little bit of issues to deal with. They actually called me and asked me how I was doing twice. So just showing that extra care, and like, you're not, you know, meat,
right.
You're a human being,
yep.
And we want to make sure that you're doing well. I will never, ever leave that health system as long as I live in Seattle, ever. So I think that was a great example.
Yeah, good story.
And it was Virginia Mason.
That's excellent.
I'll give him a plug.
Yeah, please do. Okay. That's great. So shifting gears a little bit, I mean, what are some of your other goals for attending HIMSS this year? Like, what do you look for here?
We're spending a lot of time with customers talking about the very same issues that we've mm-hmm. articulated here.
Mm-hmm.
Also meeting with a lot of partners. There's just an amazing group of companies here every year.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like there's at least 100 more exhibitors every time I come.
Very true.
And if I go back 14 years, there was probably maybe not a 14th of this, but something along that magnitude.
Yes.
So we're spending a lot of time listening to the market and just seeing what kind of unique niche consumer experiences or payer experiences mm-hmm. or provider things are actually coming to market that are gaining some traction. So we can figure out how to continue to be the best solution provider that we can for our partners and our clients.
Sharing Stewart's and taking a slightly different twist on it, mm-hmm. They do a great job. They're one of our great partners.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for the right people to help us simplify.
And that's great.
This consumer experience stuff, as you know, is tough.
Mm-hmm.
The provider experience with all of the variety of payment types, models, changes, challenges, and then all the innovation here,
right.
It can be pretty overwhelming.
And I agree.
So we're trying to ensure that we're making smart decisions with our customers and partners to simplify, to be able to deliver better healthcare,
mm-hmm.
simpler, faster, to more people with, you know, a better experience.
Yep. That's fantastic. So what do you expect, I guess, looking into a little bit of a crystal ball,
mm-hmm.
What do you see in 2017 that the industry will kind of pick up on or that'll gain steam? So starting with you, John, what do you think?
Well,
we've heard about AI and heard pieces like that, but what are your thoughts?
Now you use one of my least favorite words.
Yeah,
so
I get it.
I'll delta off that one.
Yeah, please.
I don't believe in AI.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's artificial.
Right.
I think it really is intelligence, and the A should be turned to applied intelligence.
Yeah.
If you can apply intelligence, you can simplify and make things better.
Yep.
So my hope beyond hope is that payers and providers together
mm-hmm.
will figure out how to take a lot of waste out of the system and begin to have not only the EDIs we used to know it,
yes.
but clinical data exchange between those two parties or among those parties, and there's many of them, really needs to blossom in 17 and 18. It's waste in our system that's not necessary and can be defeated
yep.
with smart technology and smart people working together with a common purpose.
That's fantastic.
So that's some of the partnership that I think Stewart relate to.
Yep. Yeah, agreed.
No.
I think HIMSS has also taken a giant step in a lot of ways through the Health Business Solutions Committee and some of their task forces mm-hmm. to pull together groups to help try to drive some of that simplification. I was hearing this morning about their prior auth challenge, right? They're working on a pilot activity with the AMA and several other participants.
And Weedy, and that's a great one.
Yeah,
that's
a phenomenal
example. Yeah.
No, that's excellent. So what else would you say, Stewart? What do you see the industry evolving towards or evolving with in 2017?
Well, as I walk through the interoperability showcase, mm-hmm. you can't help but think interoperable has got to become more relevant.
Yeah.
It's been something we've talked about here at HIMSS for 10 years,
Eons,
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Interoperability is a tough challenge.
Yep.
It means a lot of different things to different people.
Sure does.
But as you walk through the interoperability showcase, you can really see examples of systems that have technology providers, as an example, or billing companies that have prior, you know, treated each other as completely competitive, but there are opportunities to drive a little bit of efficiency by cooperating in a coopetition type model. And I think HIMSS has really been a great forum, not only through those task forces and committees, but also even in the interoperability showcase to see how some of that stuff may actually come to life over the next 3 to 5 years.
I agree. And we're starting to see more. And I think even the 21st Century Cures Act that was just passed, I think that's going to continue to enable it. We are going to work more, you know, continue on standards. But it's not even about standards in a lot of ways. I think it's about putting use cases, business cases, practical examples, and just practical work together.
It's also about data sharing, right? Yeah. And One of the things that's important to realize is that the consumer, you know, now that we're being more consumer-centric as an industry, consumers own their data.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a matter of, hey, your data is owned by this health system or it's owned by this practice management company. This is your data, right? And if you want that data to be shared to help drive some efficiency or there's an opportunity for your stakeholders involved in your care to do that, the impetus is there.
Yep.
Right? And I think some of the organizations need to kind of take their shackles down a little bit and lower their guard and actually really start to participate in some of these simplification
initiatives. Very sound and wise advice.
May I offer just one piece of color on that one?
Yeah.
I strongly agree with what Stuart's saying, and I think we're at the cusp in our industry to move forward beyond interoperability. I think the next step beyond interoperability is collaboration. Because at the end of the day, there's two human beings at either end of these two systems that are trying to do their roles in facilitating care or payment or administration or something. And if we really consider the workflows on each end, interoperability goes back to what it should be, which is a means to an end, not an end into itself.
Excellent. Very true.
Great point.
Stuart Hansen from Change Healthcare, John Zimmerman from GE. Thank you guys for joining the show today. Appreciate
it greatly.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart.